I'm going to invite you to turn into the book of James, chapter 1, in your pew Bible, or if you have your Bible with you this morning, if you turn into that, and we'll read from Scripture. We're going to begin at verse 5 this morning, and my title of the sermon is How to Obtain Wisdom, and then How to Use It is the second part of the message this morning. And so you're going to see the first couple verses deal with wisdom. And then it's going to kind of drift over into how to use wisdom. And you'll see that as you read here this morning. Follow along with me in your Bible. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high positions, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, may you bring that word to life, and Lord, may you fill your people with your spirit today. Open their hearts, their minds, and souls to receive and to be challenged, to learn in your teaching. Lord, may these words be your words and not mine, and I pray you fill me with that same spirit as I bring your message to your people today. May you bless them and me as well as we learn together. In Jesus I pray, amen. Question for you this morning. How many of you have ever touched a hot stove? Anybody ever done that? Well, more than I thought. Very good. Wisdom is learning never to touch the hot stove again, right? And so if I was to ask you, how many of you have touched a hot stove twice? Oh, we have one out there this morning. But you learn quickly, don't you, that you don't do those types of things again in your life. And that's what we're going to learn about this morning. Now, some of you are a little older than others, and you have more wisdom because you've had more hot stove experiences in your life. You've been through things that maybe others haven't been through. You've experienced more things in your life that maybe younger people have not experienced. And so you learn and you gain wisdom in your life as you live in this world. And so I want you to remember that. We respect our elders because of their wisdom, because of the things that they've experienced in their life. Did you know that a wise person also learns by the experience of others? An ordinary person learns by his own experience, and a fool learns by nobody's experience. There's a lot of truth in those statements that I share with you this morning. But what I want to share with you is that James is inviting us to learn about godly wisdom that far exceeds earthly wisdom. It goes beyond what you and I know to be common sense things in this world, but in godly ways. That's what James wants us to learn about godly wisdom this morning. And God desires you and I, his people, to enjoy more than human wisdom. He wants us to have that godly wisdom. He wants to pour it out on you. In fact, I told you this morning in scriptures we read that he gives generously. He wants his people to be wise in how they live their lives here as they follow Jesus Christ in the world that you and I live in. And to be wise in biblical terms is to know and understand godliness and what is pleasing to God. To know and to understand godliness and to know and what to do and how to live your life that's pleasing to God. That is the definition of godly wisdom that we're going to look at this morning. And if you have your outline with you, you can follow along this morning. We're going to look at three specific examples that James gives us about godly wisdom in this set of scriptures today. And so let me share the first one with you. Pretty simple. The Bible says we should ask God for wisdom. James 1 verse 5. If you lack wisdom for something that you don't understand or you don't know how to navigate or proceed forward with something, God says, pray to me. Ask me for wisdom. I will give you what you need. Now, that's not a problem for most of us, correct? We get that. We understand that. We know we should do that. But here is the problem for most of us. How do we ask for wisdom if we don't know we need it? That's usually the problem. And you might say, well, why would we not know that we need wisdom for something? And so I'm going to push back on you just a little bit this morning, because sin blinds you. There are things that enter into your life, and some sins can be very blinding. But let me give you an example. What is one sin that all of us kind of deal with, especially here in America? The sin of pride, right? I know how to do this. I don't need to consult anybody. I've got this figured out. I know what needs to happen. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I understand how this works. I'm not a dummy. See, and then we decide that, oh, we don't need God's wisdom. We're good enough. We can figure this out on our own. And sometimes the sin of pride blinds us to us for our realization that we need godly wisdom in our lives. Do you get it? Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Other sins can do the same thing in your life. They keep you from knowing that you need godly wisdom in your life. They blind you. And so it's more difficult than what you and I realize. But now that you know that, you understand that, you know how to get around those things. So when we ask for forgiveness this morning, we prayed for that, that whatever that sin is, that God removes that. But also that another prayer that you might want to pray is that God reveal to me in my life of my blind spots, where I need your wisdom, where I need you to guide my life. And God will show that through his Holy Spirit. Did you know that you're given the opportunity every day to trust in your own wisdom or to trust in God's wisdom? Every day you're given that opportunity. So let me just share with you a little bit so you get a better understanding of this. Every morning that you get up, think about tomorrow morning. You can think about this morning as well. You make a decision to walk in the flesh or to walk in the Spirit of God. Every day you get to make that decision. And some days you do well, and other days, I'm going to tell you, you crash and burn. Right? The Bible speaks about walking in the flesh, making your own decisions, following your own desires, maybe selfishness or pride or whatever it might be. But God says, I want you to walk in the Spirit with me. I want you to consult with me throughout your day, the rest of your life, of how you want me to live. Right? That's what godly wisdom looks like. We ask God to direct our lives, and you get up in the morning and you begin to pray, God, what do you want me to do today? How should I respond to these situations today? What's the most pulling thing that you need me to be a part of in my life today that you're calling me to do? And sometimes those things are not very easy. They're difficult. Maybe they're hard. But you will also find great blessings in living in the Spirit of God. Now, I could talk about the other side of living in the flesh, and I could probably talk to some of you in person, and I could talk to you about some of the train wrecks that you've had in your life because you don't consult God for those types of things. Walking in the flesh. And it's easy to walk in the flesh. It feels good to walk in the flesh. It feels normal to walk in the flesh. But God says, be careful, because that's where you get entangled in sinful things. That's where you get led astray when you start to walk in the flesh. God says, consult me every day. Pray to me every day for wisdom from above in your life. And so let me just throw out this question for you this morning. Whose wisdom are you seeking in your life on a daily basis? Is it your own or is it God's? Think about that as we live life. Because God promises that if we ask for his wisdom, that he will give it. That's a promise right in Scripture to you and I as a believer. Now let's jump to the second part of this. Here's the second thing I want to talk to you about this morning. We're to ask God for wisdom with faith. Right? James 1 verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe. Don't doubt. Now this is a little bit different doubt that I want to share with you this morning, because some of us, I want to say all of us, at one point or another in our lives, we doubt things that go on in this world. Sometimes we doubt our faith. Sometimes we have these thoughts, and me included, God, are you really there? Right? We have those doubts sometimes that enter our life. But I want you to say this is a little bit different doubt. This is the kind of doubt that when we ask for wisdom, God says, don't doubt it. Have faith that I'm going to give it. It will come. Maybe not in the way you think it's going to come or the answer that you're looking for, but it's the way that God wants to answer it. And God says, don't doubt that type of question or prayer when you ask. Believe it. Have faith that I'm going to answer this prayer, and I'm going to give you the wisdom that you need to get through whatever situation that you find yourself in life. But let me also share this with you this morning that's encouraging. When you make the decision to consult God for his wisdom, guess what? You're obeying God the Father. And when you obey God the Father, faith drives out doubt. That's how it works. You go to God and you pray for wisdom, and you're obeying the Father. He says, I promise to give it, and he's going to give it to you. And he says, don't doubt that ever. And when you do that, you're living by faith. You're trusting in God's plan, whatever that might be, that you ask for that godly wisdom. And then it goes on to say this. Don't be double-minded. Right? What's a double-minded person? You ever thought about that in your life? And I was doing some reading this week, and so here's the in the blue box, here's the answer to that. What is a double-minded person? It's a person who has two souls, per se. So I want you to think about that this morning. Now, theologically, we are not given one soul. We're not given two souls. We are given one soul by the Lord. But for preaching purposes, for you and I to understand, it's like living a double life, per se, two souls. Right? You have one that follows God the Father, and you have another desire that follows the worldly things that you and I are maybe involved in or draw us away. And we might even call those idols from time to time that rise up above God. And it's like we have two souls in our life. And God says, don't waver. Be committed. Be one in body and soul. Make me the priority of your life and let everything else come underneath that, is what he says. And if you decide that you want to live a double-minded life, he says that you're going to have a terrible life. You're going to be tossed around like the waves in the ocean. You're going to be all over the place. Do any of you know somebody that's always all over the place? Right? Some of you are smiling and laughing. Yep. Just don't be pointing at your spouse, all right? But this is what God says. Be careful of this. Because we can fall into that double-minded trap. James is pointing that out to us. It's kind of funny because we only find this in the book of James. He uses these types of words. Remember I said it's street-level Christianity? It's easy to understand. He points directly at us, right? Don't be double-minded. Don't live as you have two souls. That's not how God created you to be. But to worship God in his fullness. And I have a verse that I want to share with you this morning. And on the red box in the bottom of the screen, you see it. Matthew 6, verse 24. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. He says this. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. See, that speaks of being double-minded. What are you chasing in your life? What's filling your mind with wisdom and knowledge to live in this world? And if you're a double-minded Christian, I'm going to say this morning. You're an ineffective Christian. That's what we've become when we are double-minded in the way that we live our lives. Jesus speaks to that as well here in other verses as well in Scripture. But hold on to the promise. If we ask for godly wisdom, He will deliver it to you and I. One of the major areas, this would be the third part of your, you've seen the three parts. This is now, I'm going to turn the page just a little bit with you here this morning. Now remember, the first part of our sermon was, is we ask for godly wisdom, and then the second part was, is how do we use it, all right? It's so we get taught the lesson, and then He gives an example of how we should live it in life. That's how I'm going to jump to that part of the message here now. One of the major areas in which we need the wisdom of God is in relationship to riches, to wealth. And that comes in many different forms. It's just not financial, all right? James gives us sound biblical advice of how to use wisdom when it comes to wealth in our lives. And if you have your Bible open, I'm at James 1, verse 9 and 10. It says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation. That problem is nothing new. Let me just explain this to you this morning. And it goes both ways, so I'm going to play both sides of the fence here this morning. The wealthy get so caught up in their wealth that that's all they see, and they find comfort and peace and security in that. And guess what? The poor do. The poor, they see to themselves, if only if I had more money I could do this or that. And they see themselves as being trapped in that wealth pile as well, because they see that as security, and they strive and they desire it in their lives because they think that'll bring peace and happiness and fulfillment. It goes both ways. See, God doesn't matter if you have your pockets full of money or if you're dirt poor. You're still a child of God. But how you manage that and what you seek and how you live your life, that's what matters. That's what God sees in the heart for you and I. And God says, I want you to have wisdom around this issue in life and the world that you live in, because you're going to chase a lot of the wrong things that I don't want you to pursue in life. How often have we said that? If I just had more money, I could, and you fill in the blank, right? This is where God's wisdom comes into your life. Listen to this statement that I'm going to share with you this morning. Life's deepest needs can only be met by Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Your deepest needs can only be met by Jesus Christ. Money's not going to take care of it. Possessions aren't going to fill it. That new house isn't going to take care of it. That new pickup isn't going to do a whole lot for you. Right? I could go on and on. The lake home, the boat, that next farm, whatever it might be. A vacation property. God says your deepest needs will only be met by Jesus Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with the things that I just listed to you. But if you got them out of order, you're lacking godly wisdom. God says, pursue me first. Don't be double-minded. Right? See, earthly wealth is temporary, but God's riches are eternal, and they'll go with you the rest of your life. Proverbs 13, verse 7 says this to us. One person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another person pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. You see, God speaks of the heart there, of how humble the person is. They recognize the greatness that they have in their life, and more than likely, that proverb is speaking of somebody who's filled with Jesus Christ. They're content. They're okay with life. They know they're loved by Jesus Christ no matter where they find themselves in the world. And here's what I find kind of interesting. As I was reading the study this past week, James calls the wealthy, the rich, and the poor to live the same way if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. There should be no difference in you and I, right? That's what he says to you and I. But we know that we need godly wisdom in this area because wealth can be deceitful. It can draw you away. Luke 12, verse 15. Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions. Right out of Scripture. Right? We live in a culture today, and young people, listen to me closely here, because I seem to, they get sucked in the hardest for some reason, you know. And here's what I want to tell you that I want to share with you this morning. And don't, and older people, you're not off the hook for this as well. But we live in a culture today that teaches us to constantly strive for that next possession. To work your tail off for that next possession. That's the culture that we live in today. You know, and it tells you what you need to wear and what you need to buy and what kind of car you should drive and what, you know, all, I could go on and on about that. See, but Luke says life's way more than possessions. That's where you'll find contentment in Jesus Christ. That's when you start to live a life of godly wisdom, when we live like that in our lives. And so God calls us to be rich towards his ways, right? And eternal things. We're called to be wealthy in spiritual treasure. Now, you might ask, so what is spiritual treasure? What does that look like in my life? And let me just give you a few examples. You need to know your Bible well. That is spiritual treasure. The most, you know, have any of you ever found a chest full of gold anywhere? Any treasure hunters in here? Nope. But let me tell you something. The Word of God is greater than any treasure chest you ever find full of gold in this world. Right? Here's the treasure. So why do you keep pursuing all these earthly things? Why do you waste your time on all those things when God says it's right here? Eternal consequences. Right? That's what he says. So spiritual treasure is knowing your Bible. Spiritual treasure is knowing and growing and understanding who God the Creator is in your life. Spiritual treasure is living your life with the fruits of the Spirit. Right? How many of you got those memorized? Anybody got those memorized? Faithfulness, goodness. See, I don't even have them all memorized. But we, if we sat here, we could put them all together, couldn't we? But go to Galatians and you'll find them there. But God says, this is who you are to be in this life and the world that you live in. Learning to love others well. Spiritual treasure. And so then I come back to this question this morning. When you are filled with godly wisdom, or are you filled with your own wisdom? Because here's the real question. Whose kingdom are you building? Are you building Christ's kingdom or your own? So tomorrow morning when you get up and you pray for godly wisdom, you need to be building Christ's kingdom if you're truly a believer and you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I know you got to go to work and you got to make a living and you got things to do. I get that, but put them in the right priority in your life. And the way that you answer that question, and that's for me included, it tells us where we get our wisdom from, right? What are we pursuing in our life? Just know that whatever your earthly estate is, I don't care how wealthy you are or how poor you are, but when you get to heaven, that estate is going to far outweigh anything you have here on earth by leaps and bounds. Can't even measure it up in heaven one day. So I encourage you, Church of God, family of God, to seek God's wisdom as you live life in this world. Go beyond earthly wisdom. You're going to find joy and contentment and peace there. You won't find that in the world today. And all of God's people said,
Amen.